This is the intro to the podcast that we haven't named yet.
Oh yeah, we haven't named the podcast. All right, you want to read any of this? You got it in front of you too, right? I'm just looking
I
at
do
what.
indeed, Seer.
So these are bones. These are open for critique. We'd love it. Cut it down. Make it terrible because this is waiting to be edited. This is
Tell us we
some
can't write
ugly
for shit. We're
glop
begging it.
of clay that needs some molding so that it's going to be this beautiful glop of clay. So with that said, I'll do intros. You do any want to talk over? You want to do what do you want to do?
I was just about to open up, head through this first paragraph.
Okay, hurry up, go then.
Camera
Jeez,
travels down a high to add smaller one to a two lane to some paved country roads.
I got to read this. You're chopping it up. Listen, this is
You
poetic. Okay, this is
just wrote
beautiful.
it this way. You can't.
Well, so let me
Illiterate.
read it then, because I can't. I did not do puncture. I'm not a punctuation person. So yes, this is a whole. This is just words.
I feel
it,
like
with a thought. So,
I feel like Dennis reading the shit that Charlie wrote.
All right, we're
And
gonna
all
have to
of a
cut all this
sudden.
out. We're trying to make this brief, okay? Camera travels down a big highway to a smaller highway to a two lane, some paved country roads later, and then to a dirt country road. All these country roads are marked by country road type signs, right? So I didn't need to write that in because we know what country road signs are, like
Yeah.
chickens on picket fences and weather
What?
vanes and cows shitting in a pasture, all that. And then
These are
corn,
signs I've never
corn.
seen, but all right.
Well, do you go to the country all the time? Is this
Yeah,
your thing?
you guys drag me through the country pretty often.
Yes. And how often are you without Wi-Fi that you actually look around and see
I
any
am
of the
looking
countryside we're
around. I
passing?
like looking at the signs. I like reading
Calling
billboards.
bullshit. I'm calling bullshit. Hey, we got to get on with this. Listen, we could be in the shenanigans proof all day. You're sidestepping. Okay. So
All right.
it can. This camera continues down these dirt roads that then they're like carriage roads, you know, like an Amish carriage road, because it's the Amish apocalypse. And then we see a big white plain church. I don't even know if it's so big, to be honest. It's old, and you can tell it's constructed some time ago, and it's white, and it is plain. And then we go up the steps and through the doors, and we see to our periphery, as we look about, we can see that we're passing by very plain clothed Amish Mennonite peoples with their heads
Very plain
down
and
in
very white,
reverence.
yeah.
And we are going towards, I'm just freeforming this, I'm just completely left the script, and we're going towards the coffin that we see an Amish man in, and he is dead.
Deceased.
Deceased. Actually, now that I've actually made a rewrite, I forgot, this may not be a very well attended funeral. It probably is actually, with the new rewrite for today's episode, that we might do a two-parter, but it's not that big.
Not
But
packed.
over top of him, then we see Yoder, who finishes a moment of silence, opens his eyes to a glaring, deep-socketed, strong, fiery-looking eyes, and begins to preach. And all of this that he is about to say, do I even write it?
Fucking improv this shit, right? I like, honestly, I'd like the actor to be improving it a bit.
Okay. Well, this is all different now because we made a big alteration to the story later. And this person is now being buried in shame. And it's going to be the shame of the society that we, you know, that they have to navigate around, and the judgment that people put on them. However, this man has fallen to the deepest depths of shame in their community. And he uses it more as, instead of a like mourn for the loss of, he uses it very coldly, more as a
condemnation of the outside world.
Yes, and a cautionary tale. However, I wrote it without that, so here we go. Use your imagination. It's with a heavy heart that we gather here today. Also, I planned on, this is dumb. I'm really making this take long. Also, I planned on it growing, right?
Yeah.
And this man has to have a garbled kind of voice that I cannot do. So he has to be cast more properly. But
and also he's Danish or Dutch or something like that, right?
I think that's what we were going for. At least some kind of Uper kind of accent at parts.
Because they're the Van de Graaffs, which I think is a Dutch last name.
Thank you for doing the research. I refuse. So, yes, that is why it takes a team. A village. Here we go. It's with a heavy heart that we are gathered here today as we mourn a tragic loss of monumental proportions. At 1.5 people died. So, nope, it's not monumental proportions. Our strongest, hardest working, most loyal to our creator, taken from our numbers in a terrible and unfortunate accident while working late into the night to serve our humble community. They toiled in a godly manner when they were struck by a motorist who never stopped. Not true.
None of this is in the story anymore.
Man, I'm just really ruining all of this. Yeah. Never aided. He never troubled his haste cause. Never turned himself in when he heard of the death still out there unpunished by the secular world. Now we can get some of the disdain, though. He shows his disdain for all the human race and thereby himself. While we simple folk lament in the passing of our loved ones. They drink specialty coffee, speeding past our homes, our carriages, our children, and our honored elderly. They judge us. Slow-witted, errant, ignorant. I was going to say arrogant. They're definitely not. Ignorant, antiquated, even mocking us to our faces. And in front of our children, nonetheless, they act irreverent in the face of the Lord. They don't believe in the Almighty God, nor fear him. And the ones that do believe don't practice in ways that honor him. They don't honor him. They only consider his words at their own convenience. Once a week, and even less. Imagine that all their sinful conveniences somehow give them cause to ignore his commandments. That their imagination of unnecessary necessities and bills they create can be ample reason to wait until it is in their convenience to attend to his words. That by purchasing insurance and other fantasies, they can escape the necessity of a fear in God the Almighty. Thinking a spokesperson will care for them when they fall sick, get in an accident, or fail in a business endeavor. They are like us, commanded to love their fellow man, enemy and friend alike, to care for the planet God has entrusted in their care, to slow down, to pass a slow-moving vehicle. I love that part. I'm sorry. I got a cough.
That is pretty funny.
This is getting to be like trying to sing along to a Slipknot song.
It's the fucking with your throat.
Yeah, it might take the right. Oh, dude, if we could get like a famous heavy metal guy to play Yoder. Anyways,
again, to put aside judgment. Get a glass of water or something.
I got some actually. There you go. But it almost helps. So let's just keep going. Actually, and to put aside judgment, they fail and accept no blame or judgment of self. Not to say they don't judge. Oh, they do judge. They judge us. The point they laugh at our simple dress, our choice of facial hair. Excuse me. Our choice of facial hair, out disdain for vulgarity and the plain. Our disdain for vulgarity and the profane. I need to learn how to spell too. The very thing they seem to celebrate with evil, sinful vigor. But let me make it very clear that they will be the ones judged in the end. Their very sins they think are their strengths will whip up frenzies around them that bring demons straight from the bowels of the earth to torment and persecute them for all their evils. And although it is God's way, it will invariably be our biggest test. And for that reason, we do keep our dress the same as years before, never giving in to fashion to satisfy our sinful egos. We shun their mechanical conveniences, never forgetting that through dedication to a life of hard work and meditations, through our daily toils, we never forget that we are... We never forget the record should skip there. No, we never forget that all we need, God has given us, and all that we will need in the future, he will also provide. Let there be no mistake to my words. We must remain vigilant in separating ourselves from the secular world. We must not open the door to Satan by commingling and doing businesses with them. Or we will surely be damned as they are themselves.
As we listen to Yoder, the camera fades to an aerial, as in the human name, that descends over dirt carriage roads.
Wait, wait. Say this thing, and then you can cut me down on my misspelling. Just because I slipped a mermaid in here for the aerial doesn't mean that you don't understand what I'm talking about. But when you don't convey that to our audience, they just think I really wrote a stupid sentence because you cut me down in the middle of it, and they're lost. So as we listen to Yoder, the camera fades to an aerial that descends over dirt carriage roads. And of course, aerial is spelled like a fucking mermaid on a rock. All right, there you go. You see how it's done? Moving on.
Yeah. Over dirt, two lanes, then the paved two-lane countryside road that depends over a 15-year-old boy riding a bike. Depends? Descends. You meant descends. All right. He approaches a country trailer park and stops by the sign.
Trailer park.
Holy shit. What am I reading?
I didn't. This is a regurgitation. He looks around for someone he was supposed to be meeting. He pulls out a pocket watch, which I'm thinking we may switch to a knife. And maybe it's got a watch on. I don't know. Anyway, so anyway, he pulls out a pocket watch. That makes more sense because he's a fucking, he's a glam boy. He's a, what do they call them?
Goth?
He's a goth. So we're looking at this goth kid, and he's probably wearing a trench coat and fucking lipstick and fucking guyliner. Mm-hmm. And he's hot in the autumn sun. And he pulls up to this trailer park, and he pulls over to the side, and he seems to be waiting for somebody, and he checks his pocket watch, and he mutters, late. Flips the watch closed and looks at an engraving on the back. It is a heart and the word, mom.
It triggers a flashback. Steve versus Saber Soldier.
Which is our flashback's name.
Yeah, I don't fuck with the Saber Soldier name, but all right.
We're changing it.
I don't know. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. Saber Soldier. Whatever.
Yeah, what are some dumber things to call him then? Where he's a deputy who, at this point we don't know it, but he is a deputy that always wears a sword at his side. Mm-hmm. He does when he's on duty. He's not on duty now, so he's in his home. We don't even know that he's a deputy.
I just call him Officer Saber, but, you know.
Officer Saber. Okay. All right. I don't hate it, I guess. Officer Saber. But he's a deputy. So he's Deputy Saber.
Sure.
Yeah. Sheriff Saber. No. What is another... What's the stupider name for a fucking sword?
I think...
Rapier?
Cutlass?
Rapier Soldier.
Anyway. Well, then I guess it depends on the kind of sword we want Steve be using, right? Do we want him to be saber or rapier?
We're going to use whatever sword we have on his hip because it does become integral to the plot, so it's needed. It's also foretold by soothsayers, but it's going to be whatever. I think it's going to be just a cool fucking sword, like, yeah, a saber, like a cavalry sword and shit. That's what I think. Though the saber should be, it can be called anything to make fun of it. Like if you're making fun of a police officer behind his back, you're not being like, well, that doesn't check out. If it's a better alliteration, if it's a better, you know, rhyme of words or timing, then you go with it because it travels better. Whole idea.
Deputy Dagger.
Deputy what?
Deputy Dagger.
Deputy Dagger. Yeah, because then it actually minimizes the saber, too.
Yeah, makes it sound all...
So, anywho, that took 5 minutes so that we could introduce this flashback that Steve is having while looking at his thing. So, Steve is doing what, David?
Doing some gothic stuff, in parentheses, listening to Bauhaus and cutting himself, in parentheses.
I just threw that. It doesn't have to be cutting himself, but you know, I mean, he probably cuts himself. Am I wrong?
I mean, I it doesn't sound out of character.
And I want there to be anger and tension inside of this. And there could be close-ups of him just cutting himself once and like being in this moment where he's just like not, he's like discontent. And then he opens up maybe a box or something like that. And we see a razor. And we're like, oh, this motherfucker's a cutter. And then we're listening to fucking Bela Lugosi's Dead, right? And we're like, oh, is he really going to do it? And tension will build. And he cuts himself. And we as emotion, we should be attached to that of some sort. Certainly as much as when the father bursts in on him. And that's what we really, we want that to, because we want the father to be shocked. He has a right to be shocked when he walks in on a scene like his son trying to fucking off himself, right?
Yeah.
And then the scene starts. And he says, you're supposed to practice today. Sees what's going on. And I haven't wrote this as though he has been cutting himself, because there'll be drama to start if we change that. And I think we should now. But this is just, he sees them fucking, I don't know, what, smoking patchouli? I don't know what they're doing, if they're goth.
Smoking the reefer.
Smoking the what? The reefer?
Yeah.
You were supposed to practice today.
Is this a back and forth thing?
I think it should be. Can you do it?
Yeah, sure.
Good, because we're four lines into this, and now it's taking 20 minutes.
I have a history project and had to. I can't do a fucking. What am I?
Keep trying. You'll get it eventually. Who cares? The fucking these. So now he's a surfer, but he's a surfer that's a goth. We know that. Anyways, moving on.
I'm doing it. I have a history project. I'm doing British. Fuck.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird to me too, bro.
I had to come up with a thesis for our team.
You have to practice. Regionals are in a month.
I hate fencing.
You, oh, God. You don't mean that. You're great at it. You love fencing.
I was great at it.
That's why you need to practice. You can still be great at it.
I was great when I was fencing against 8-year-olds who were like me, being forced into it by their overbearing parents. But now I'm fencing against freaks that want to fence. They give a shit. They practice. They get in shape. They study fencing. They do all the shit I should do and would if I gave a shit.
You do. You give a shit.
I don't. Do you? Do you love driving to pricey hotels all across the country?
We see the country.
We can't afford it. We have to stay in hooker hotels nearby. If that's what the rest of the country is like, I don't need to see it.
Steve's father contemplates what he is hearing, looking distant, not wanting to hear it, not wanting to be there. He's probably going to disregard it because Steve is after all, a teen who doesn't know what he's saying. Steve continues, thinking that he may be being heard this time from his father for one of the first times, so he continues with a bit more passion.
We can't afford it. I have to wear secondhand equipment. My shoes smell like shit. People know we're broke. They look at us like we don't belong, and we don't. I don't want to do it. If you can't afford it, why do you... Why?
You promised.
She left us.
She didn't leave us. They took her. And he slaps the kid down like fucking bitch. No, I'm sorry. He slaps him. Go on.
She's not here. You don't have to keep promises to ghosts.
Flash to present. Steve checks the time on a pocket watch on a chain. He turns it over and sees it inscribed to see my hero and a heart and mom. And I just included that because I forgot that I was going to have it say my hero. That's better. That's prophetic. Because right now, our hero just opened the door, cutting himself and getting slapped down by his dad. Right? And that's better. So, but I will have the inscription in the front. I don't know why he would be looking at it now. Or maybe he's pulled away from it by this next scene as he kind of looks and is startled. And somebody says, you want to do
get
the kid? You want me to?
Creature of the night. What?
Actually, I'll do the kid because you're doing Steve. Which you did great on, by the way.
Thank you.
Get back, creature of the night! A young boy holds a cross and points at Steve, who is dressed like a goth douche. And Steve is silent and stares at the boy whimsically as if he doesn't get dressed in the morning, hoping for this kind of mistake. That's just me writing stuff that didn't need to be in there. A little redundant, but it's fun for me. So I wrote it. Anyways, the kid continues. Are you a vampire? Another kid says. Idiot, if he was a vampire, how could he be out in the sun? Hey, first kid says. Why ain't you burning up, vampire? Jimmy. Jeez, he's a fucking goth, man. What's a goth? A boy, Jack, approaches on a bike dressed in baggy jeans and a Faygo shirt. He has black powder makeup in his eye sockets, making him look like a bit of a zombie. Jack, a goth kid. Oh, and then Jack says, a goth kid is a kid who's crying on the inside and shows it on the outside. What's up, Steve? Jake's on his way. He addresses Steve and lets him know that Jake's on the way. Well, I guess we knew that. The kid says, oh, that makes sense. You guys are friends. Like your own little freak show clique. We don't know this geek. He's our history project manager, partner. For your information, and me and Jake are the freak shows. Me and Jake are the one and only freak shows. And currently there are no applications, so no, you can't join. Maybe if you try real hard, your moms can. School bus pulls up, opens its doors. The two kids get on. I just realized there's no lines for Steve in this.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have a line until much later.
So I think you should definitely be Jack, if not Jake. or you should definitely be Jake, if not Jack as well. But anyways, if you guys want to beat us to school on your bikes, you should have already left. Just then, a bike zooms past with a kid that looks like a twin to Jack.
Hurry, you slow fucks! We're gonna be late.
Jack mounts his bike and takes off after his brother. Jack then also says, "You heard him, Count Chocula." I don't know, what's he calling?
Count Fagula.
You heard him, Count Fagula. Oh, that's awesome. I gotta put that in right now. Sorry, can I?
I can see you editing it right now, actually.
Yes, Eula, Fagula. I love it. Okay, now I have to make it a word so it understands that is a word. Okay. You heard him, Count Fagula. Hurry the fuck up. Steve seems confused and annoyed, but mounts his 10-speed and gives chase. The boys are riding together on a country road.
Did my brother explain why we needed to meet up this morning?
No. Okay, check it. Sure, we got the history project, and we have to go to the cemetery and find some dead fucks and research that boring shit we did. But more importantly, I know you're an audio video club, which gives you access to all kinds of equipment to help me and my brother make some rap videos.
Yeah, we got a plan to rise out of the ghetto-ass trailer park and build an empire. But we're going to let you in on the ground floor.
Jake, I don't know. Anyways, we messed up.
Jake and Jack, yeah.
I follow you. Yeah. Only thing is, I'm going to do a little bit of a fucking Saturday fever. Yeah, this is the only beginning. We got big shit planned. So what do you say? It's your line. I don't know. I'm responsible for everything. I check out. Hail Satan. David.
I'm sorry. Did you do a greaser voice? What was that?
The what?
For Jack, you did a greaser voice.
Yeah, it's chicken from Cow and Chicken.
What?
I just fucked up and I went with it. Like, fuck off, man. Read it. Let's keep moving. I won't do it again if it makes it better, but it was pretty good. I don't know. I'm responsible for everything. I check everything out, and it's my name on the list. We ain't gonna steal it.
Get damaged. No, it can't get damaged. We gotta make a bunch of videos.
Yeah, see, we're in the same boat, so we can't break your shit.
I guess if you promise not. Of course we promise.
At that moment, a Trans Am speeds past them and screeches to a halt, blocking them from continuing on their bikes. And I should mention that there should be an edit in here. I think one Hail Satan had to be talked about, because I threw a Hail Satan in there that I didn't write about already, because as I was writing this, I forgot about the Hail Satans. But Steve has Tourette's.
I think there is one later in this scene, isn't there?
Yeah, it's coming up right now. Yeah. And it, but I want him to freak out possibly before that and maybe set that. I don't, because I don't know if he would have been able to talk that long without giving a Hail Satan. It makes sense. Maybe at his house, he wouldn't have the twitch, but his twitch is Hail Satan and all worship the, you know, great Beelzebub and all the bullshit that you can make satanic and terrible. And he seems to be triggered by religious dogma, sentiment kind of stuff. If someone says, yeah, bless you, even while there's a sneeze, then he says, Hail Satan.
Yeah.
All right. So now we got our character figured out, and let's keep reading, right? And I got to get rid of this keyboard. There we go. Yeah. See, we're in the same boat. I guess if you promise, and then Jake, of course, we promise. At that moment, a Trans Am speeds past them and screeches to a halt across the road, blocking them from continuing on their bikes. Inside are two menacing-looking motherfuckers. Jake says, under his breath, fuck.
Fuck.
Jack says, relax. It's cool. We got this.
Steve is frightened into paralysis. The driver, Clive, is dressed like a 90s douchebag. The passenger jumps out through the window quickly. He's a little dirtier and looks like a day laborer with delusions of being a famous rock guitarist. His name is Ricky.
And I messed up which and put in with, so you, yeah, corrected that. Thank you
stumble there
for not pointing out it's my fault that you stumbled. Thank you for not doing that. I'll do it for you. So Ricky says, as he gets out and runs towards the boys, hand it over. Maybe we won't break both your fucking arms. Yeah, maybe we'll just break one each, Clive says from the driver's seat.
Hand over what?
You little fuck. Don't know who you're fucking with. Look, just give it back and your mom doesn't have to know about anything.
Mom doesn't need to know about what?
You little twin fucks are about to be found in a fucking river.
Are you threatening the lives of three teenage boys?
No, Ricky says. No. We just want our shit back, okay? We just want our shit back.
Ricky, I have no idea what you're talking about.
God damn it, quit fucking around. You boys don't know the beast you're fucking with. You fuck with a bull, you get the horns. I think he actually should be saying that. You fuck with a bull, you get the horns. And Ricky says, this is serious. That stuff isn't mine.
What stuff? I know you can't mean any kind of drug or illegal substance. Yeah, because that would mean you were breaking my mom's number one rule. And that would get you kicked off the couch and back to whatever low-life wannabe rock guitarists go when their mark finally sees through their bullshit, like Radio Shack or Best Buy.
I like that line. Enough. Enough, Clive. Enough. Give your stepfather my fucking product, or I fucking swear he won't be able to protect you, and no one will give a shit about two wannabe gangster rappers from the trailer park coming up missing.
This douche isn't our father. He's just a douche that turned my mom into a meth zombie before he went to jail. And now that she's clean, and he has convinced her that he is too, so what... I'm sorry, this makes no grammatical sense, but I'm going to roll with it. So whatever you guys have misplaced can't be any drugs, or he won't have to worry about trying to move from our couch to our mom's bedroom, because you'll be couch surfing at your place.
Yeah, it's...
kill the deputy's son, too. Yeah, you know that Officer Grit. You know Officer Gritzinger, right? This is his boy. You think they will care when the deputy's boy doesn't make it to school?
Officer Saber Soldier is your dad.
Yeah,
this is dad. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this is dad. Just maybe just as important, he's never been late to school day in his life. They're probably forming a search party for him right now.
You stuttering fuck. Is your dad the police?
Commit your soul to hell.
What the actual demonic fuck? This stutter is possessed or something? The fuck, man, it's not worth it right now. We'll see you guys later. He walks close to the twins and leans into them menacingly. Right now, the only thing saving your life isn't this little makeup faggot. It's my product. I expect it back. Protect it with your fucking life and come to your senses before you put your mother's life in danger, too. He motions for Ricky to get in the car. you guys, don't you get it? These guys mean business. He doesn't, he's not going to do anything to your mom, but he means, he like, and he gets in the car and the car peels out.
Well, 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 you little guyliner goth, you. Didn't tell us you were blessed with Tourette's.
I think we need to change Ricky's voice a bit. You're sounding a little too star-screamy.
A little bit?
Yeah, you're getting towards the star-scream era of bad guy.
I am in God, you little Decepticon!
Yes, that is where you're going with it. Yo, fucking lucky little gay wide. That's why you never talk.
You're trying to hold your demon back. I fucking love it.
Yeah, it's so real. You gotta be fucking tired. Like, every fucking second you're in public. No wonder you're a people-hating god.
Oh, it's my line.
Yeah.
That demon's inside you, boy. I bet your farts smell like straight sulfur.
Yeah, I think you're getting better for sure. It sounds like your voice is going through the same. You got a water brush?
A bit, yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm moving back to the thing. Sorry, I'm slowing it up now.
Yeah.
You got a demon con its way out, trying to spread out your mouth like some evil gas, infecting people nearby, dropping like flies.
Demon breath.
Yeah, you're demon breath. And you spit the fire.
Hail Satan. That's the best dick. If you go off again, I'm going off with you. All is hail and Satan. People are going to freak out.
I don't know.
Hi there.
Oh, that's you.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's cool. It's good. It's cool. Better than Guyliner Goth Boy.
What's with the goth shit anyway? Your mom don't love you. Your dad think you're a pussy.
Steve shows his anger. My mom is dead. Man, you guys are real dicks. My mom died 4 years ago, and it sucks. She's stuck in bed for almost a full year. She went crazy, and she wasted away to nothing. When she died, I didn't even miss her anymore. It was the worst fucking thing to happen. Fuck you.
Hey, I apologize. It sucks. We know our dad's dead.
He may be. I hope he is.
He doesn't give a shit about us or her mom.
We're not trying to make fun of you. More like fun with you. Hey, man. Didn't twitch when you were all pissed.
Maybe you should just talk to people like that. Talk to people that piss you off.
Yeah, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, this is your line. Sorry, go on.
No, then I'd never stop. Everyone pisses me off.
The twins laugh, and the tension is gone. They ride on, and the twins take turns saying, "Hail Satan!" and other modifiers and evil voices. Steve nervously adds, "All praise Beelzebubba." And we cut. And we also get to mention my favorite Dead Milkmen album, Beelzebubba. The twins arrive at school, and Jack says, "I gotta talk to a Jack about a thing."
Hey, sorry for not telling you that we were running protection for us this morning too. We'll meet when the school gets out and ride to the cemetery.
Three jocks and a cheerleader walk up to them. Jock. "Hey, sorry to break up your little faggot girl talk session. I know you're passionately arguing about what's best, Maybelline or CoverGirl. Well, which one of you twin juggahos has my shit?" "Watch your mouth, motherfucker. Maybe the faculty will let their favorite jock get away with anything from holding drugs to date raping a cheerleader. But they ain't letting these two ninjas off for shit." Oh, I'm sorry. That's what you said.
Yeah, you dick. I'll just take your next line. "We'll meet you at the cemetery after school."
"Practice it for. Better not make me later. It's your ass." I was with the ass stuff.
Like some fixation, huh?
Jock goes to Steve. "Fuck you, boys." First he says, "Fuck you" to them. Then he says to Steve, "Come on. One little praise Satan for me before class." Steve looks nervous and petrified. "Come on, man, just one. Praise Satan, praise the dark lord. Come on, man." A cheerleader comes forward from hanging on Chad's shoulder and confronts Steve in a flirty way that also may be mocking him. She touches his chest with her finger as she speaks, and all While she does, Steve is petrified and repeats under his breath, "No, no, please no." Cheeler says, "No, you don't say it to get the demon to come out. You got to say, in the name of Christ, amen." Steve, in a high-pitched priest voice, yells,
"Lord of darkness."
Jock says, "Jesus Christ." Steve, in a metal voice, says,
"Submit."
Now you're getting it, Chad. "I'm late. It was so worth it. You know," then the cheerleader, "you know, Mr. Lilly won't write you up, Chad." "I know, but sometimes I try." Jock takes off with his girl, very confident. Jack says, "Fuck those guys, man. You could be death metal lord with that shit."
"I was just gonna..." What the fuck did you write?
I don't know. I think you're trying to get the voice too hard and you're missing the emotion because...
Well, also, I completely misread because I can't tell what is being said here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm writing like an idiot. Let me read it for you. This is Jake, though. "That guy's going to be bald." "Hey, man." Okay, so he says, "Hey, man, that guy's going to be bald, fat, and dumb, breathing in chemicals at Wad Manufacturing." Jack says, "Yeah, she's not going to and she's not going anywhere. She's going to have 8 kids by the time she's 25, living in a double wide next to my mom.
And twice as many STDs. That line doesn't work if you add in an extra line before it.
Yeah, well, yes. "And you're fucking demon metal prince lord. So who gives a fuck what they think? Anyways, meet us at school as soon as the school's out, demons metal. Meet us at the cemetery as soon as school's out, demons metal. And all this can change a bit as well. But now, the boys separate and we see Steve walking to class. There's a janitor mopping in his classroom. All the kids near him are watching the janitor, who is drooling on the floor. He is mopping. And his eyes are sunken in his head, with some blue-purple veins showing. His back is to the chalkboard, not hips. His back is to the chalkboard, where the teacher is writing on the chalkboard an assignment lesson for the day, and unaware of this drooling janitor behind her. The bell rings, and the teacher finishes the day's topic in chalk on the fucking board, and the page number on the board, turns and starts to address the class. "Hello, class. Today we will be learning..." But stops as she sees the janitor is still mopping, and the kids are looking at him strange. She addresses him by name, but when he doesn't respond, she walks towards him politely, explaining, "Class has started..." Do I have a name for him? John?
You say his name like literally... You read ahead, dude.
Oh, Terry. "Okay. Class has started, Terry." He continues mopping terribly. "Terry, could you leave us so we can start?" As she approaches him, we see more and more signs of zombification. It's almost as he's getting more zombified as each scene goes on. She places her hand on his mop to more actively get his attention, stopping him from mopping. Maybe he's wearing headphones and a CD player, and she removes the headphones. I think that's an option, too, and possibly even better. When she does stop him from mopping, he goes full fucking zombie, screeches as he turns on her, does the whole, you know, like, "I'm going to attack you" thing, and she backs up towards the board where he charges her, rips out her fucking neck, and with her lying dead, goes back to mopping. Left for dead with a gaping hole bit in her neck, she falls to the ground, and he puts his headphones back on, begins mopping. The blood in the mop is making a bigger mess than he is cleaning, but yet he continues to. The kids scream and escape to the hallways, but several, including Steve, are trapped, and of course, Steve, the pussy that he is, becomes petrified again. A principal's voice comes over the speaker and tells the kids to assemble in the auditorium for emergency assembly. Excuse me. The teacher starts to come to life, and the other kids begin to run off, only leaving Steve in the room. She stands, then walks to the chalkboard and begins writing terribly. Maybe she starts spelling murder or something creepy. I don't know. More kids escape as we hear police sirens, but Steve is stone. His father comes to the door. He reads the situation from his perspective. He can't see the hole in her neck, but for the blood and the unresponsive janitor zombie, it's tough to see the real threat. He addresses the janitor and draws his gun on him. Tells him to get on the ground, but the janitor ignores him. He addresses the teacher as he slowly walks to her near Steve. She is also unresponsive. He shakes Steve and points to the door. Get to the hallway. Steve nods and gives a... Did you want to say it? Did you say it?
I already did.
Oh, hail Satan. Okay, yes. Steve makes it to the hallway, and Saber Soldier now can see blood around the feet of the teacher. He approaches her slowly. Mrs. Carnes, we need to get you to the hospital. Miss Carnes? He continues pleading with her as he approaches until he sees the injury and then demands Mrs. Carnes, demands, Miss Carnes, I need to get you to a doctor. He grabs the chalk hand to stop her from writing, but by now she has already worn the chalk down and is screeching with her finger, making a terrible noise that we can amplify for dramatic effect. And also the disgusting blood, you know, in the chalk and the dumb blah, blah, blah. Anyways, by now she wore the chalk down. She's barely chalked. Okay. When he does stop her, she goes full zombie and attacks him. His gun was drawn, pointed at the janitor the whole time, expecting that janitor might turn on them. But as she attacks him, he's surprised. And of course, stage fall and the gun goes dramatically far from him. Now the teacher is on him trying to bite. He gets his sword in between them and blocks her bite, pushing her away with his sheath sword. They wrestle in the mop's blood and they break the janitor's mop, stopping the janitor from mopping, who again zombies out and joins the attack. Now the teacher onto the officer, pinning him down. The officer has the sheath in between them and begins opening the sheath as the extra weight of the new attacking zombie, who can't reach her necessarily past the teacher's head, begins to cut off the head of the teacher, leaving blood all over him. He doesn't continue and go on to cut off the head of the next zombie, and I don't know why, and that may be a gaping plow. The officer pulls the sheath down, exposing blade, the weight of the head off. Now the teacher's now lifeless body. Oh, excuse me. Blood raining down on the officer. The janitor zombie flings the teacher's now lifeless body off the officer, who in the break rushes to his gun and fires several shots in the janitor, who, like a good zombie, barely flinches. The zombie rushes the officer, pinning him down and grabbing his gun. He fires his remaining shots into the hand and frees the gun, putting it to the attacking zombie and pulls the trigger, but he's out of ammo. Putting it to the zombie's head and pulling the trigger, but he's out of ammo. The zombie presses against the struggling officer, nearer and nearer, about to bite, when the sharp end of the broken mop pierces the zombie's skull. The officer, freaked out, again getting rained in blood, and barely understanding what happened, Crab walks back, stands, and sees a reporter holding the mop sticking into the zombie's head, then quickly feeling out the character. She drops a stick, and zombie, in exasperation, says, I couldn't let him kill you. It was defense. I don't know why feeling out of care. Oh, she felt out of character when she's not a killer. She's a reporter. The officer looks over and sees a cameraman filming the incident. The boys are back on their bikes. The school has been let out. Jack says, wait, so like a full on zombie?
I don't think it was I don't think she turned into a zombie. She just...
What are you describing is some of the most awesome zombie shit. And when you see one zombie,
you see a thousand. Don't see a thousand?
Yeah. I don't know. We need to word that better.
Yeah.
I don't see what's awesome about zombies. They're the worst horror movie monsters ever, and they can't be any better in real life. Hold up, Ninja. Let me guess. You're one of those vampire lovers all excited about gay vampires giving interviews.
But think about it. A vampire can only be a threat at night.
Yeah, go a little younger with Jake.
Yeah.
Let me hear you say that line again.
But think about it. No.
Yeah, it's good. That's perfect.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just be a boy. Because he's not a fucking metal kid. He's just a gangster listening trailer pig kid. So a higher register than your current voice would do good. Just put and change it from, and because it's you and then me, when it's Jack or Jake, it will work.
Basically, just take out the rasp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rasps are for bad guys.
Older.
Bad guys. It can never be different.
Can never change anything.
There's no change. There's no nuance. All bad guys sound like Starscream. Moving on.
Yeah.
But think about it. Vamper can only be a threat at night. Oh, wait, that was your line.
Yeah, I just said
but
that.
But I said it. And then I say, I'm sorry. In the summer, that starts at like 8 p.m. or as late as 9 p.m. and lasts until like 4 a.m. 7 hours of horror.
That only makes them only half as scary as any other monster.
Yeah. And they can't have any other person know about them, or they will be hunted down when they're sleeping.
100% helpless.
Well, they can hypnotize people and wolves and things to protect them.
Okay, but my point is they have to be secret for a reason.
Yeah. They must know what little bitches they are compared to a mob of angry pitchfork townsfolk.
They need a whole group of motherfuckers to be scary half the time.
Half the time. Pause on that. To be scary half the time. Emphasis on that. A zombie is pure terror all hours of the night.
They're dirty, disgusting.
Oh, that's me. No, that's Steve saying. They're dirty, they're disgusting.
Okay, and that's scary. Getting your blood sucked by some fashion plate model looking motherfucker is far more agreeable than getting mauled by an undead amputee with maggots climbing out of his face.
Yeah, you don't even want to get me started with a whole fashion plate monster.
Zombies don't give a shit about what they get on.
They just want to eat your face and spread the disease. Vampires can live forever.
Zombies live forever.
But they can't think and feel and be like alive and like. Okay, I see. It isn't about which one is better for you as a horror theme. It's about which one you'd rather be.
Oh, shit. I love zombie movies because I don't want to be one.
Steve looks at him questioning as he stares at his almost zombie face with the makeup that he wears.
I'd like to look like one.
But that's just to freak out the norms.
I watched my mom turn into a zombie before I knew what it was.
That douchebag you met earlier got my mom hooked on meth after my dad skated.
He didn't have any will to do anything except meth. Then there was a fire from one of the many idiots that were in the house.
They called themselves friends, but they just had drugs in common.
We were stuck in the room with fire in the hallway.
My mom ran through that fucking fire, grabbed us like a pro wrestler, and shielded us from the fire running back through the flames to save us.
We got some burns here and there, but my mom was burned on her back and legs pretty bad.
Oh. Hail Satan! Yeah, praise our dark lord. Anyways, after that, my mom changed.
Like going through the flames, burn off whatever made her a junkie, and she emerged a new person.
Yeah, she kicked that douche to the curb and got her life together. Saved enough money to move out here in the summer.
But the douche went to jail and somehow convinced her he was clean.
When he got out. Sleeping
on our couch.
And has been sleeping on her couch. Sure, I needed to add in there. And when he got out, convinced her he was clean. Now he's been sleeping on our couch, trying to get back in the bedroom. Mom's is too forgiving.
Wait a second. Wait, hang on. What? What the fuck does this say? Wait a second. What the fuck are we doing? Wait a second. What the fuck are we doing? All right.
If this is... Oh, man. What the fuck are we doing? That's the way the line goes. I wrote it fucked up. Wait a second. If this is... Oh, man. What the fuck are we doing? Steve says, what? Jake says, man, shit, we're heading to the fucking cemetery to sell a jock head some fucking pseudoephedrine. I thought we were researching our history report.
That too.
So,
Steve where says, is the worst place to be in a zombie apocalypse?
This isn't a zombie apocalypse.
You saw one zombie infect a person in a matter of minutes. That person tried to infect another. How long do you think it'll be before it is one?
I don't think it is. I mean, hell, Satan. I don't know. Man, we're already here. We do the deal. We get back to the park. Armor up. Armor up? Steve says, questioning.
We've been preparing.
What, for a zombie apocalypse?
Rule number one in a zombie apocalypse, form a group.
We're a group. Rule number two in a zombie apocalypse, armor up.
There's Chad.
Chad is with his girlfriend in his convertible Mustang and talking with her. In and out, man. Keep your eyes peeled. Chad and Buffy are in a parked car in the cemetery. Chad is saying, come on, man. You know I can't have a good practice without a blowjob. Without a good practice, we won't win homecoming. You don't want to let the whole school down. Buffy says, because of the half day, we still have 3 hours till practice. Besides, those old-timey people are doing a funeral. Chad pouts. Buffy says, get me high first, then I'll get you off. We just have to find a spot where they can't see us. Chad says, at the assembly, those little dweebs said they were going to come here straight from school. They should be here any minute. How long does it take two wigger clowns to ride to a cemetery? Hey, that sounds like a joke, huh? Like a punchline to a joke? You still need the last part of the joke. The punch. No, you still need the setup. It's only a half joke, Chad. I could be a comedian, like a rich one. I mean, I got the looks, not just like got the looks. I'm good looking, I mean, but like, check this out. Chad makes a stupid face look. Buffy encourages him. Oh my God, that's good. Yeah, yeah, and I got this one too. Like, look at this one. Like, yeah, you see it? Yeah, you know what the fuck, right? Right? Oh, God, yeah, I could see that one. Like, if you said a funny joke and then you did, like, that look. Oh, that's so good, Ted. Yeah, man, and I'm not scared in front of a crowd. Like, in front of hundreds of people every week, it doesn't scare me. And I got that other thing for comedy, too. Hey, I got that thing. What's the most important thing for comedy again? Well, you're lucky it's not a strong memory. Man, whatever. I got it. Whatever it is. I'm telling you, if I remember it, I got it. Babe, I could do it. I just need some, like, jokes. I remember a joke. Not, like, jokes, but, like, you know, stories. That's, like, a joke. How long does it take to... No, that was your joke. Hey. There's those little shits right now. Chad motions to the boys over to his convertible by waving to them. Over here, dickweeds! Buffy says, Chad, the funeral. Oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me. Chad cups his hands and shouts, praise the Lord! Steve responds with a hail, Satan. You're getting a little bit, I can barely understand the hail, Satan on my end. Maybe I'm not hearing it right, but anyways. Chad laughing says, Jesus Christ, Mother Mary and Holy Ghost. Steve says,
hail Satan, prepare for a dark Lord's reign to begin. All the righteous will be slaughtered for his dark glory.
Jesus Christ, this is great.
All shall perish. Hail Satan.
Buffy then says to Chad, you're a dick. Those poor people at the funeral? Fuck them. What are they going to do? Chase me and Sally? He motions to his Mustang. Down on their buggies and give me a good thrashing? Ha! Okay. Hey, thanks for bringing the retard, but which one of you dickweeds has my meth? Jack says. Well, yeah, about that. Jake approaches Chad and produces a baggie of white powder.
It's kind of meth.
What the fuck is kind of meth? Yeah, you know, I don't give a shit. I said meth, no money. Jack says, look, it's the same drug they use to make meth. It just hasn't been through the chemical process that distills it down.
It's meth, but it's like meth light?
Pseudoephedrine. I need to add that line. Jake says, it adds like meth light, you know, pseudoephedrine. Wait, Chad says, is this the same shit that made that kid die on the basketball court or something? Jack, trying to obfuscate from that, says, I mean, well, it's easily worth $100, man.
Well, Jake, it's actually $500 worth of pseudoephedrine.
This is the shit that made that kid die. Okay, listen, I'll buy it. I'll give you $50 next week. Jack says, you said $100.
You said you'd pay today.
We need that money today. It's important. Chad says, not to me. Besides, it was supposed to be meth in the first place. And I don't give you a thing if I don't want to. Fuck, I could turn your little fucks in probably and get a reward for getting the two of you felons off the street.
Man, fuck you.
He pulls out a knife and his brother fades into the background. Chad laughs a little and says, oh shit, this little fucker wants to die, as he begins to eye in on Jake. In the background, we hear shouts and screams. Run, flee, quickly to the church, in the name of Jesus Christ. Which, of course, gets Steve going crazy with the Satan worship Tourette's. While the jocks start to charge Jake, he isolates the knife arm and tackles him to the floor, then gets on top of him and starts to talk shit while beginning to turn the knife on Jake, pointing it towards his head. Did that go the way you expected it, you little shit? You little fuck, you better start thinking of a reason why I shouldn't stick this knife right in your fucking eye, as he begins to push the knife towards Jake's eye. And give you a constant fucking reminder every morning when you wake up. Oh yeah, that was dumb. During all this, I want to emphasize, we still hear a bunch of Tourette's bullshit and zombie stuff going off with the Amish funeral. Suddenly, he has a large knife at his own neck. Jack has gotten the advantage while the two are fighting. Jack says, did that go the way you expected it? Why don't you start listing the reasons I don't paint your fucking shirt red? Chad pleads, oh, homecoming, man. Homecoming, dude, please. Please, no. I mean, no. Buffy screams as a zombie begins emerging from the grave around the boys, straight up clawing earth-style zombies, pulling themselves up from the ground. Some Amish run past with zombies in pursuit of them. A few of the zombies in pursuit of them see a couple of shovels and a pickaxe near the fighting boys, who have now stopped and gotten into defensive postures to try and ward off the zombies if they attack. The zombies pick up the tools and threaten towards the boys. Rah! You know, we want them Hulk things that zombies always do, because that's what our zombies do. They threaten like that. Steve, who freezes like a little bitch, the jock wastes no time and starts to destroy the zombies with very impressive skill. While the twins stab one in the eye and slice his neck deeply enough that his head falls back, still biting upside down and almost comically upside down as it runs around like a chicken trying with its head cut off. And if you've ever seen that, it's a sight. That's what the zombie's doing, trying to bite people, running around, zombie head attached, but looking from its back. So it turns right or left, and it turns left or right. And it's hilarious. The zombie that went towards Steve walks past him to a pile of dirt with the shovel and starts shoveling it. Steve, of course, had to be petrified for us to realize that the zombies just want to work. Oh, good. It's a labor force. Everyone is astonished, but they see more zombies and run, splitting up. Chad and Buffy in their Mustang and Steve and the twins on their bikes. Jake says, we got to get back to the trailer park. Steve takes off ahead of the boys. We'll take the trails, Steve says. The boys quickly follow. Jack, our camp is in the trails behind the trailer park. I'll get you guys there.
Oh, shit. But fucking, I'm here. All right. We can armor up and then we'll scope the park out.
We'll start to scope the park to see if it's been overrun, you mean?
Yeah.
Our mom works at the office. We got to make sure she's safe. It's a good thing I read that line. Pamphlet while we get everything. Go then. What? Read that again. Sorry.
You can read over the pamphlet while we get her.
Steve says, pamphlet? Yeah. How to survive a zombie apocalypse? Yeah. How to survive a zombie apocalypse? Duh.
You lucked out to be working with us. We've been waiting for this shit.
Yeah. Also, you got to stop that whole pussy-ass Frozen and Fear shit, okay? Like, if some shit goes down, we're going to need you.
For real. Just remember, whatever threat you're facing, it only gets bigger when you're busy being a pussy instead of facing that shit and saying, fuck you! You think you... What the fuck are you...
You think you're the shit?
Oh.
I fucked up.
You think you're the shit? I've seen shit. A lot of fucking shitty shit. And you ain't even a fart.
I liked it when he said you ain't even poo. But okay. You ain't even a fart.
That is... It's a synonym. What?
It's a sin.
It's a synonym. It means the same thing.
Yeah. But poo sounds nicer. Anyways, Jack says, whatever you're facing, hears crazy shit like that, and it thinks twice, man. Even if you're about to get fucked up, at least you get a fighting chance. The boys continue thrashing the trails until they find themselves in front of a pile of junk with a Volkswagen hood in it. They open the hood, revealing a dope-ass junkyard type of club, and they begin to walk in. Jack says, come on. Turns to Steve, but sees his mom's douchebag boyfriend, Ricky, sneaking up to Steve and smashes him in the back of the head with a baseball bat. Steve falls unconscious. Ricky says, dude, you guys don't understand who you're messing with. Suddenly, Jack has a .45 under his nose. It's Clive. And he says, think real hard about your response to my next question. Your fucking life depends on it. Do you understand me? Jack nods in agreement. Jake begins to move on him, but Ricky charges towards him with the bat, and Clive starts toggling between the two, laughing. I fucking only need one of you fuckers, so go ahead. Jack says to Jake, Jake, surrendering isn't losing. Oh, Clive says, oh, you're losing. You've already lost. Now, where the fuck is my shit?
And cut it there, because that is the end of Act 1.
All right. Now, how long did that take?
It's been at least an hour.
We should probably stop. But let's make scene 2 right now. Let's go right into it.
Really?
Yeah. Why? You got the time? You busy for shit? You got stuff to do?
Well, we've been at it for an hour, first of all. And
we'll stop the episode, and then we still got to write this next bit.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the...
Write it another time. What? I need it now
because I want to actually get to writing it, and we haven't worked through it, and I need...
You need it. You need it. All right.
I have nothing to... Okay, I can write without it, and then at least I'll have a synopsis, and we'll go through maybe like this. Maybe it'll probably be like this if enough time takes... Damn it, David, it's going to be like this.
A big side note. It's not even an actual scene.
What?
Act two. You don't have a scene written for act two.
I know. That's why I need to outline it with you in the next episode.
Oh yeah.
It needs to be outlined so I can put it together because I got ideas, but they're all fighting with each other like a battle royale. And we need to fight like a three act.
This episode out more.
No, this episode's done. It fades.
Yeah.
Because Steve's knocked out and the boys are smashed or in trouble. And it's a little cliffhanger for us. And when we open up the next scene, we are at the funeral again, where we left off in the sermon. I should also mention the very beginning of this kind of needs to have WOD Chemicals. But maybe actually that's the way we'll start this next one, is the shit happens at WOD Chemicals. Remember the packaging plant?
Yeah.
We'll start there. And then we'll go to the Amish funeral continuation. That way we can get some zombie shit right away in the episode. And remind people it's a fucking zombie movie, bro. And then we can get the... Anyways, now we're just talking. All right, let's edit this thing down. Get it to the peoples. Let's get it to our peeps.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have to tell them, like, smash like buttons or something? What do we...
fucking, what was our thing? Oh, yeah. So, our ending was Z y'all later, I think.
Yeah. And we were supposed to just say it without prefacing it, but we're really bad at our job. So instead, we're prefacing it. Z later.